In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
It's millennials. They don't care about getting stuff right. You've given up on them, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Well, why? Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I hate him also. Sorry. Oh, look at you.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Go on.
I start today, Jay, with a little PSA for everybody out there. Safety tip. Do not, under any circumstances, get an iPad mini that's connected to the internet, that has unlimited data, that has YouTube TV or YouTube on it, and then dive down into a Sopranos wormhole where it starts auto-playing the next video and the next video and the next video, because it's dangerous, Jay. I'm not even paying attention to the road. I am enjoying the shit out of rewatching the Sopranos just cut up a million different ways. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. I should probably do that with The Wire, but I haven't seen The Wire straight through yet, which is a damn shame.
God. You have so many holes movies and TV. It's disgusting.
I have two big holes, okay? I've got Major League, which I'm going to close this summer. More on that in a second. And I have The Wire. What else am I missing? Let's go. What's your biggest holes?
Wait, it took you 70 years to see The Godfather.
But I saw the first two, did not see three. I've been told don't. It's terrible. And I said it can't be worse than the first 40 wasted minutes of Godfather 2.
So until you watch The Wire, you can never say blank is the best show I've ever seen.
I know. I need to put The Wire in the conversation, which it is. By all TV critics, it is in the conversation.
Except Game of Thrones. I hate that show. I saw one episode and I was like, this is really not for me.
Well, you gotta be into the fantasy stuff to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But it was gritty and raw. By the way, did you call it Games of Thrones?
I said Game of Thrones. Why are you always hearing me say shit? You've been doing that lately. Basketball. Who did you say that said?
I could have sworn you said somebody.
Check your CTE check, please.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm going to rewind. I'm going to rewind at the end of this episode, and then people can
just
judge.
Like, just like the dickhead who said I said something about Brunson, which I never said.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I mean,
I think
seriously.
I think you did say Games of Thrones.
Except Games of Thrones. I hate that show. Except Games of Thrones. I hate that show. Games of Thrones.
Which is okay, because you're not a fan of the show.
Rewind.
I can't rewind now. It doesn't matter. You're not a fan of the show. It's a tiny little thing, for God's sake.
No, but it's like the third time you've done it.
Oh, shut your hole.
It is. Come on.
Stop it. All right. Let's not quibble over this when I can quibble.
That's quibbling.
Let's not quibble over this when we can quibble over how tall is Bronny James. Apparently the answer is 6'1", as measured at the combine. Well, that's amazing because he's always been listed at 6'4".
Oh, he's 6'3", yeah.
Yes, exactly. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being another facepalm embarrassment of LeBron James lying and or making shit up, 1 being, hey, everyone's bumped up a bit, where does this one fall on your scale?
We're 7.
Pretty high, right?
Yeah, because everybody, you know, 6'1" now, you are a point guard.
Well, yeah. So Bronny
James. And he
doesn't
handle well enough to be a point guard.
Right. Old Time Hardball on Twitter says Bronny James is a 6'1 shooting guard that doesn't shoot very well and lacks the handle to be a primary ball handler. There is no NBA comp to him because that type of player doesn't belong in the NBA.
His father is going to get some GM fired. He is. That's what's going to happen.
So spot the lie in that tweet right there. There is none, right?
Like that's, right.
Yeah. And why is it that you need to be at least 6'3" to be a primary shooting guard only in the NBA?
Because guys now are guarding you at 6'6" long.
And they're just as fast, and they move their feet really well, and they're very long. As our friend Glenn Consor on the Wizards Radio Network says all the time, very long player. So, yeah, we'll see. I have noticed an uptick, have you, Jay, on the coverage of the NBA Combine, which had never been much of a covered thing. I kind of like it, even though I don't really watch a lot of it. I think the more transparency, the better. Why not? Got to see Zach Edey run the three-quarter court run like he had a load in his pants.
Isn't it like football? Football camps, the same thing. Doing stuff with nobody guarding you.
Right.
This does not interest me at all.
Okay, how about if I told you that Bronny James had the third highest vertical at 40 and a half inches?
Hey, how about that? And he shot, I believe he shot 25% or 29% while his time at USC. I believe that was what I heard.
29 from three or 29?
From three.
Oh,
from
thank
three.
God. Okay, God, yeah. That could be the case. I could look it up. What's interesting, though, and this is another topic that may or may not be of interest for you to get into, the whole Austin Rivers debate with, who was it from the NFL? James Jones. James Jones versus Austin Rivers, where I believe James Jones said there's at least 30 guys in the NFL that could suit up and play in the NBA tomorrow. And then Austin Rivers is like, yeah, not so much. Did you see that?
No, I thought Austin Rivers made...
Oh, was it the other way around? It was the other way around. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
James Jones didn't say it because, you know, James Jones is the toughest guy in the NBA.
Well, no, James Jones, the NFL player.
Oh, I thought you were... Okay.
No, James Jones... And by the way, there is a James Jones NBA player. James Jones, the former Packer...
Yes,
who wore a hoodie.
I know you're talking about.
Claim to fame was he wore a hoodie under his jersey, and the NFL apparently had no bylaws preventing it, so they had to let him wear it. And it looked really weird. He was the only guy. He's like, I got to stay warm, man. Hoodie coming out the back of his neck under his helmet.
I think he is correct about that. 30 players couldn't play. No.
Right. So, because even though a number of NFL players that went on to great success, including Hall of Fames like Tony Gonzalez and Julius Peppers, did play some basketball in college, right? Antonio Gates, another one, turned into a tight end. I believe those guys were dabbling in basketball, but they were really born to be football players.
Right, right. They played it on the other side, you know, just to keep in shape.
Yeah, and there has to, you have to have a nose and a ferocity and a bit of a psychotic element to you to want to play tackle football, right?
There's only one sport that I've always said, I could take a guy from this sport and he could do well in a lot of other things. And I always said that's baseball. I would say they're the best athletes because of the hand-eye coordination.
Wow.
I've always said
baseball. Interesting. And,
have you ever seen the non-baseball players throw a baseball?
Oh, it's terrible. A lot of them, including, and this one shocked me. Did you see the twin first pitches from Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud in a baseball game?
Did it look godly awful?
It didn't look great. And even Stroud, a quarterback who throws an amazing deep ball with a football, didn't have a great baseball motion. I'm like, wow, you so didn't play baseball growing up.
That's the one I always believe that they're the best athletes playing, baseball players.
Well, they're good. They're good. They lack, you know, the cardio of, say, hockey players or basketball players who have to run up and down the court. But they've got a basic athleticism that is pretty much multi-sport. I bet you could put them in other sports and they would fare best. This is what we need, Jay. See, forget bringing back the superstars with whoever would be the modern-day Howard Cosell announcing and them doing a bunch of stuff with celebrities. Let's do a NBA versus NHL versus MLB versus NFL competition.
And not just the 40-yard. More stuff than that.
Whole bunch of stuff. A bunch of things, including making all the other players try to do the other player's sport.
Right, right.
Wouldn't you love to see NBA players try to skate?
Yes.
That would be hilarious right there.
Or hockey players taking BP. That would be hysterical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or hockey players trying to figure out how to run a play in football. Yeah. Oh, wait, where am I supposed to go? Oh, no, I just got to go over here. No, you're supposed to run a 7-yard dig, not a 9-yard dig, not a curl, but a dig. Do you know the difference there, Pierre? Oh, shit. Well, that's the kind of arguments you get spawned of, you know, idle time on the internet. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. So, all right, let's move into the rest of today's show. How are you enjoying Caitlin's sanity going on right now in the WNBA?
I'm sorry. I was watching real basketball when the Knicks game.
I say this because ticket prices for her games, on the road at least, are at all-time record highs. It is truly a mania, a craze. And she had her debut last night. She picked up two fouls in like the first couple minutes, which was like, you think the WNBA would put out a memo going, okay, let's not get her in foul trouble early. All right, come on. She's the star of the league now. But, you know, she had five threes, and she's like 5 for 15. But, you know, people come to see her shoot threes. At some point, would you not agree, Jay, that the Caitlin Clark room will clear out and she'll just be a WNBA player?
If he doesn't start picking it up, then we're gonna, and then it's gonna be like, you know, she's, I hate this. No, I'm not even gonna say that. Let's just say she really needs to heat up before people start caring about her again.
Right.
If he doesn't heat up.
Right. I'm not against her. I think she's, you know, she had a tremendous college career with no championships, but okay, got close twice. And good for her for helping raise the profile of the league. Do you know, by the way, there's a WNBA league pass on TV you can buy? <You're okay. laughs> It really exists. Yes.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I was like, wow, that's news to me. They're now traveling first class, chartered actually, mostly because of her. That's $25 million down the drain. They're not going to get back because it's expensive, right? For a league that's already losing money.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is a craze not unlike, say, Pokemon Go or furry babies or bobbleheads or, as my title implies, Lynn Sanity.
Okay, I'm going to say it out here. I said it has a Tim Tebow feeling.
Yes, Tebow as well. Americans in particular, more than any other culture and country, are prone to crazes and manias, right? Where we get swept up in it, where you don't even know, where some dad would be like, oh, I had to bring my daughters. They were so into Caitlin Clark. And, you know, we paid $185 for upper deck tickets, but it was worth it. And look, here's the photo I posted on Instagram to prove how much worth it was. That's the other thing, too, is we're living in a sharing society where people want to then share and say, look at what a good dad I am. I took my daughters to go see her, and who cares what it cost? Well, he should have waited.
You're supposed to do.
Yeah. What do you want, a cookie?
Yeah. You're supposed to do.
And if you were told you can go pay that much money to go see her, you cannot take any photos and you cannot post any photo. What? No, come on. I won't prove
that I was there.
Right. Exactly. If it was just because it was you and your kids, but you couldn't literally post about it, I mean, that would cut the demand right in half. Apparently, her home games, Darren Rovell tweeted that the home game get-in price was only $16 for some of the upper deck tickets. So it's really more of a road phenomenon right now. And I think the entire phenomenon is going to go down quite a bit from there. While we're on the W, have you seen the walk-in outfit from one Kelsey Plum last night?
I did.
She's
kind of a dime.
Go, girl.
She's kind of a dime.
Yeah. She was wearing a long black leather baggy pants with a short crop black leather vest top that had the middle unbuttoned, so it was unsecured. Her lady lumps, as Michael Scott would say, her lady lumps just hanging, you know, out there. And she stopped for someone, a photog, who offered her a candy ring. And she kind of gave it a playful lick and then laughed and then walked away. She was looking fine.
How bad did Darren Waller fuck up?
Well, he had that every night for quite a while, married it, bought it, paid for it, cared for it, put up with her crazy, took her out to dinner, treated her nice, canceled some plans for her. He had her every way he could, so did she. Upside down, inside out, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, by the pool, on a plane, on an ox, by a box, with some socks. And after a while, and this is just a theory, Jay, I don't know, but after a while, got old, you know?
After a year, what is it, a year?
After a while, got old, you know?
It's like Jalen Rose and Molly Karen. That was 6 months, and they were out.
I know. By the way, how do you think? What do you think about Rory and his divorce?
Yeah, okay, I saw Rory getting divorced. I don't know who Mrs. Rory is, so I don't know the story well at all.
It's a good story. She was the one that drove him to the Ryder Cup first tee when he was late and slept in, probably with her by her side. And she was actually a member of the PGA of America. And so she helped them win the Ryder Cup that year because Rory won his match. Had he been 5 minutes later, he would have lost his match. And that point would have been the difference.
Okay, I'm looking at Rory McIlroy's wife. She's a very pretty lady.
She's nice. She is a grade A certified, you know, E5 American blonde woman with wonderful teeth and a beautiful smile and blue eyes and probably a wonderful mother and a good person who they just didn't work out. It happens.
Well, he's now going to be taken for happy shit. I hope he knows that, right?
Yes, but people are saying maybe he did this before he makes the big jump to live because you don't be sharing half of that big pile of Saudi money if you don't have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. All right, moving right along. This was an interesting tweet from somebody about NBA nicknames. They said, what happened to us? We got lazy here. These nicknames are just simple, like Novak Djokovic is the Joker. Why? He's not even funny. You know, Anthony Edwards is Ant. Come on. Whatever happened to Chocolate Thunder and the human highlight reel and nicknames like that? Does this guy have a point?
Yes, he does. And I'm outside. Wait a minute. What was, my favorite, Andrew Toney.
Yeah.
One of the coldest nicknames in the history of sports.
What was that?
The Boston Strangler, because he killed the Celtics.
That's a good one right there.
That's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah. Let's see here. The round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley. Come on.
Iceman.
Yeah. Yeah, where you made sure the nickname was specific to who that guy was as a player.
Jesus Shuttlesworth, Ray Allen.
Well, that was a movie, though.
But he became that nickname, Jesus Shuttlesworth. I love that.
That was a good one right there.
I'm trying to think of something. Oh God, well, here's a bad one. Harold Miner, remember his nickname?
Baby Jordan.
Yes, and he was not that in any way, shape, or form.
There's a great, speaking of Jokic, who was tremendous last night, and Charch on this pod yesterday said, I've given up hope. Minnesota is going to Minnesota again when it comes to their sports teams. And sure enough, they got hammered by Denver. Denver's now in the kill shot position, up 3 games to 2. Jokic was great last night, 40 points, 13 boards, no turnovers, even had 2 dunks in the game. Was doing the old spinorama. Rudy Gobert, your defensive player of the year, had no answers for him. But there's a funny guy on TikTok who's just a generic white guy who is playing a pretend Nikola Jokic. You got to see it for the full effect, but I think the audio is good enough here. Take a listen.
My name is Nikola Jokic, and this is a day in my life where basketball is job. I don't like job. First, my loving wife wakes me up.
Nikola. Get up!
Hey!
What? You have game today.
What?
You have game.
Oh, no. No, no. I want to watch horses instead. See? Horse.
Nikola, no more horses. And get up. You have game today.
It's great. trained. He does this, he shoots this shot, this three, Jay, where it's like the form is all wrong. He's heaving it over one shoulder with the ball behind his head and it goes in. And he's just like, basketball is job. Job is boring, but pay good money.
Did you watch much of the game at all on last night?
I did. Yes, I did.
He was like playing with Rudy Gobert. He's like, I'm just playing with you. I can do whatever I want to in here, and there's not a thing you can do about it.
Right. A lot of the buckets he made, I thought you could have had that bucket two moves ago. What are you doing? And maybe the answer is just fucking with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, I'm doing what I want with him.
Yeah. But anyway, so looks like that series is almost over. The Knicks game was fun to watch as long as you don't hate the Knicks. Do you hate the Knicks?
No, I like the Knicks a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we never had a team in the area where I live. So
in I've always Baltimore? Been... You had the Bullets when you were two, I think.
Yeah. And as you know, I would rather root for Russia than I would any team in D.C., so that'll never happen that I was going to root for the Wizards.
Right. When did the Bullets stop playing in Baltimore? At least
73 or 72, I think, sometime.
Well, hold on a second. I was there in 89 where they played a game in Baltimore because I was part of the scores table or maybe the PR department as an intern. And I think it was 1989. They played an NBA game in the old arena there, which had like a stage at one end of it. Where did Baltimore Bullets play?
I'm sticking with my 72.
Baltimore, the Baltimore Civic Center.
I'm looking to see the last year.
They played a game there in the late 80s. I am 100% sure of it.
No, that's no. That's so wrong.
You don't think so?
No, that's very wrong. 73. What did I just... I'm tired of you. I'm tired of being right. I'm so tired of being right.
That's when they played their last...
They relocated to Washington in 1973.
No. I know that. That's the last time they played regularly there. They played either a preseason game.
They did a couple games in Baltimore, but that's...
Yeah, okay. I know it doesn't count, but I'm just saying I was there, and so I'm like, why was I there for that game?
Because they played like one or two games in Baltimore still.
Right. But the Civic Center was crazy because it was
biggest dump I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, it was a dump. I know. They've freshed it up right now, but back, oh my God, it was the worst.
Yeah. Anyway, so where were we? Okay. NBA. Knicks.
NBA nicknames. You're done with that?
Yeah, no, we're done with that. We're done with that. Anything to add on the Knicks series?
I got a bad feeling about Friday's game. I got a bad feeling.
Really?
Yeah, I got a bad feeling about it. I think it's going to go seven. I think it's going to be a seven-game series at the Madison Square Garden.
If it's a seven-game series, how egregious do you think the NBA's thumb will be on the scale to deliver Knicks, Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals?
I don't think they're doing anything with this one.
If it's a game seven, how bad will the thumb be? The thumb will be on that scale. It's a matter of how bad.
That's a great one.
That'll be a very keenly watched game to see how egregious are they willing to make it to help out the Knicks.
If we hear just been brought out of retirement, Dick Bavetta will be reffing the game. You know, it's fixed. Exactly. With Scott Foster, we'll also be doing that game.
Right.
Yeah.
How you like Doug Gottlieb getting the job at UW Green Bay, a Division I gig in Green Bay in the Horizon League, and he's not quitting his radio show?
You killed him. You better kill him.
Okay. Will he rip himself after losses to open his radio show? Will he take calls of listeners ripping him as the coach of the fight in Phoenix. I'll hang up and listen off air, Coach.
He does understand you can't do both of these. I guess he doesn't understand.
No, he does not understand. He's going to try, and both sides have signed off on it, which is crazy. Like my colleague Brian Butch said, you know, this really offends me as somebody in the basketball profession and has thought about coaching, that you can't just be available most of the time. You got to be available all the time. What if a player comes in, he's like, ah, shoot, I got to go get an MRI. I just want to pop into coach's office and tell him, you know, hey, thanks for the talk yesterday, and I'm working on some of the things you were coaching me on, and I'm going to go get the MRI. Do I need to still come to the walkthrough? Oh, you can't go in there. Coach is doing his radio show. I mean, that's fucking crazy, right? You can't have that. So he was like, I'm offended from a basketball standpoint they would permit this. And I said, I'm offended from a radio perspective that Fox right. Sports Radio has not posted the job. So you I can maybe apply
in
for
my
it.
Peanut butter.
Yes. Right. I'm like, this is bullshit from a radio side. You can't possibly be grinding on the NFL in November and December when you're running a Division I program.
Do you like him at all?
I like him only because he said something nice to me unsolicited when I ran into him at the Super Bowl once. He said he liked my show, and he made a few references that proved it was not just, you know, bullshine and that he actually did. And I was like, all right, cool. But I don't like him per se. I like the fact that he's willing to, you know, plant his flag on certain things and take some shit about stuff, even though it's, you know, unpopular at times. But I'm not a huge fan.
I still don't understand how he can have takes on anything. This is a guy who literally committed
a crime.
A crime.
I know. Stole credit cards, got kicked out of college, got kicked out of Notre Dame.
You can't say anything.
Well,
I just don't understand how he does the show.
Well, he's admitted to it, and he has, you know, not shied away from it. He's accepted that as part of his Wikipedia page of sorts. I mean, Michael Vick fucking killed dogs. He got a big TV contract and another NFL contract when he got out of Leavenworth.
That would be my first thing to him. Well, didn't you do this, sir? And he had nothing else to say. That'd be it. Oh, can you do it? Yeah.
All right. Exit.
He's kind of a cock weasel.
I know. Exit question on this: is this going to become a trend?
I hope not. Who else can do that?
I don't know.
But JJ Redick is going to do the Lakers and do radio.
Redick would love to do the Lakers and still be on ESPN when possible.
Who still owns Fox News? Who runs that show?
That's Murdoch. Who's running it? It's Murdoch's kids.
The sports. Do you know
Fox Sports? I mean, Fox Sports.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still part of the Murdoch empire, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I remember the guy who ran it. You disliked him greatly. Oh,
Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Don Martin. Yeah, he's still there. Yeah, of course he is.
He sounds like a really stupid guy.
Oh, aggressively stupid. And ego the size of Montana.
And that's not a good of both.
And they never get fired. They never get fired. They never move on. And they're just a giant fucking roadblock for people that, you know, are trying to go somewhere sometimes. That's the reality of radio. You know, in any other business, there's a lot more lateral pathways. There's a lot more very similar competing firms. It's a very narrow road. So you get a situation like that, you're kind of fucked. But hey,
I know you're not a fan, but Tony Kornheiser just said the greatest line ever. Sports radio is run by C students.
Yeah,
and that's 100% true. 100% true.
Yeah, you know, C is a bit generous. I'd like to see the transcript on that. RG3 is off the Monday Night Football pregame show, instead making way for Jason Kelce. Your thoughts?
I like RG3 on that. I don't like him, the dude, but he's good on this. That's terrible.
Okay, but what about when he was constantly dick-riding Lamar Jackson, calling him my little brother just because they played together, right? And saying things like, it's about time some people put respect on Lamar's name. And Scott Van Pelt asked him on the air, he's like, you know, he's going to win the MVP again. Who's saying that? Who's not giving him respect? And RG3 just ignored it.
I thought he was entertaining. I thought he was entertaining. Right. I know he's not for everybody. I know if Andy hears this, he'll go, "Oh, shut up, you're an idiot." For me saying anything nice about RG3. But right. I thought he was entertaining. I could be wrong.
And this looks like it is the death throes for Inside the NBA on TNT. They'll have one more season once this becomes official, that NBC is back in the NBA game. But I'm going to offer a contrarian take here on this.
Okay.
Regarding that show, I can honestly say, yeah, I've seen enough of it.
It run its course.
No, it's still good, but it's sort of like, I've seen enough of it. It's great. It's whatever. I'm like, it's not the kind of cultural institution it's being made out to be.
You know, when I watch the ESPN show, that is god awful. And I like Will Vaughn, but he and Stephen A. Smith and Malika Andrews, that show is god awful to watch.
Right. Well,
NBC can't be this stupid and not just bring those three over.
Apparently it's going to be harder than you think because of a variety of factors, including Ernie Johnson, Atlanta guy who has a big contract with Turner and said he doesn't want to work for anybody but.
That makes sense. I get that about Ernie Johnson.
Also, I said, you know, look, if people are really hand-wringing this much over a halftime show, maybe the product itself needs a bit of attention. You know, like, aren't the games supposed to be the main show? What does it say that the halftime show seems to be more popular than the games? It's not good.
You know what? NBC, somebody will fuck it up and put the three worst people they can on the show.
Oh, 1,000%. And they'll try to mimic the genuine banter and the don't give a fuck from Charles and Shaq and the smooth stewardship and rapier wit of Ernie and Kenny, who I guess does something on that show. I'm not sure what, but you know, he's on there.
I'm trying to think of a fake studio show that they would put on with the worst people ever.
Well, I would say don't.
Tim Hardaway. They put Tim Hardaway on the show.
No, Tim Hardaway, he nuked and salted the earth on his reputation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
On the whole gays comment.
Isaiah Thomas, Tim Hardaway, and who would host it? Who's a terrible host? I can't.
How about Paul Pierce casually dropping N-bombs on white guys?
Paul Pierce on the show, yes. Big Baby. What was that?
Big Baby's going to jail. Big Baby going to jail. But he's excited because he knows that they won't give him cheeseburgers in jail, and he says he's going to lose some weight, be in the best shape of his life.
Glenn Davis would be a great fit. He'd be great on the Watch the Show.
What a dummy. All right, I'm going to play this and give you my FTG first, and then you can hit second, all right, Jay? So you got a little time here to think, all right?
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
My FTG this week goes to anybody, any podcaster, any columnist, any social media influencer who shares a story with someone in a sport, usually a GM or a coach, that tells this breathless story about, you know, we almost traded player X to team Y. You almost did? Oh my God. Or the guy who says, you know, we almost drafted insert great player here that you didn't draft. Like Sean Payton said about taking Patrick Mahomes, which they almost did. I saw where apparently, you know, there's a story that Adrian Wojnarowski said that Kobe was almost a Piston at one point. And I'm like, well, guess what? He didn't turn out to be a Piston, so who the fuck cares? For everybody who plays the this almost happened card in some story, I don't want to hear it because I don't care. It didn't happen. And for them, I say, F them guys. All right, Jay, what do you got?
This guy has been a two-team winner on this show that I dislike him, but it happened again two nights ago. I went down a rabbit hole of watching MLB brawls, which I used to love watching.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
How does John Boy get money? He does anybody that anybody else can do, and people go to him to watch him say the same thing that you could watch for yourself. I don't get how he makes money. I don't get why people watch him. He's not entertaining. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Yeah. And if he listens to you, I'm sorry. You're not good at what you do if he hears this, because I think he's a fan of yours. So I'm going to say it again. I don't get how he makes money. I don't get it.
So to John Boy of John Boy Media, Yankee fan extraordinaire, you say, Jay?
Fuck that guy for what he gets paid for. Not him, for what he gets paid for.
You know, he did stand up that media venture, got some people to buy into it, and I guess he's got enough sort of, you know, force of numbers. I know. I get your point. And by the way, my friend Houston Scotty is right now pumping his fist in the air as he hears this, because he hates John Boy more than, you know, the combined, you know, force of whatever the hate is in the world. That said, I did have him on the show once.
No, but I just don't understand how he gets. I mean, how is your cough?
It's not great. Can you hear it?
I know. I mean,
still there.
Take a week off, dude.
No, I can't. Got a podcast. I need the ball. Want the ball. Need the ball. Want the ball. All right, Jay. I'm gonna cut this off here. As always, a great ride. And as Ken Beatrice taught us to boldly say,
bye bye now.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.